So, reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, and we're beginning the discussion of Nam Bhajan at the level of a Sakti, Krishna Sakti. And hidden in this verse, hidden within this verse of Shikshastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving all the teachings and secrets how to become fully attached to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur perceived that level of devotional development in this shloka. He perceived that secret, and so he brought it out to the world to indicate that this shloka indicates asakti or attachment in bhajan, which will come by chanting Nam. Ayinanda tanacha kinkaram patitam bam vishavai bhavam budho kripaya tava parabankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. The translation is, O Nanda Nandan, son of Nanda Maharaj, as a result of my fruitive activities, I have fallen into this fearful ocean of material existence. Please bestow your mercy upon this eternal servant of yours. Consider me to be like a speck of dust at your lotus feet, and always accept me as your purchased maidservant. So this is one translation of this verse. And here, at this level of asakti, the sthayibhav begins to manifest. And this particular mood that Lord Chaitanya is indicating is the sthayibhav. And is in one purport, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining these different verses. And he says this fifth yama, he calls it Aparan Kaliya Bhajan. The Nam Sadaka is praying to attain his true identity. True identity means his sat deha, his eternal form. He's praying to attain or realize his true identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. Here, the devotee, here an attachment for both bhajan and the object of bhajan, bhajan and bhajaniya, is especially awakened. By performing such bhajan, one realizes that the holy name is without a doubt the very life of all transcendental knowledge, which is in Vidyavadu Jivanam. At this stage, the mood of prayer is Ayinanda Tanacha Kinkaram. This verse, Shikshastakam, appears in the heart of a sadhaka when he enters the realm of asakti. He becomes attached to the Lord. Then he starts crying. When attachment comes, because before that, at the level of ruchi, one may have great taste for bhajan. That's what we're reading, Nadanana Janana Sundaram. He has great taste for bhajan, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. But he's not so much, he's attached to performing bhajan, but not so much his attachment is directly for the object of bhajan, which is called bhajaniya, although he's doing bhajan of Krishna. But here, the actual person, the personality of Krishna becomes more manifest in the heart of the devotee, and he becomes very attached to Krishna, the person, at the level of asakti. He says here, and this also we can review here, he says that bhajan, this is Trinada Pisunichena Nishta. Bhajan with firm faith, bhajan nishta, is a subject of the third yama, Purvan Kaliya Bhajan. Performing Nam Bhajan with nishta extinguishes the blazing fire, forest fire of material existence. Bhava Mahadavagni. Bhajan that is performed without pride and with respect for others in relation to their respective positions is a secret hidden in this yama, in this third stage of bhajan, which is Trinadapi Sunichina. This is stated in the words of the third verse of Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichina Turapi Sahishina. The secrets of ruchi or taste are found to be concealed within the fourth yama, Madhyan Kaliya Bhajan. In the stage of ruchi, the sadhaka has no other prominent desire but to serve Sri Krishna. And nishta, one is serving, and he has some taste, but he may have some other desires may come to disturb him slightly. But in the stage of ruchi, then there's not much disturbance from these other desires, and his prominent desire as it mentions, no other prominent desire but to serve Krishna. The transcendental sentiments of prayers such as Shreya Kaivrava Chandrika Vitaranam and Nadanana Janana Sundaram, they explain bhajan at this stage. So now we're at the fifth level, where one is actually praying for this identity. In this chapter, this whole chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing the gradual advancement of Krishna Asakti and increasing realization of the meaning of the word Kinkara. So as we discuss this chapter about Asakti, because Asakti leads to Bhava, this word is there, Kinkara. So Kinkara has three levels. One is, Kinkara means I am a servant of Krishna. This is a general understanding. And then it says, I am a servant. That's a general. And then I'm a servant, but there's no specific rati or specific mood of service. Then the second level that he'll explain in this chapter, that I have dasya rati. I actually have the attachment. I'm attached for Krishna, the bhajaniya. The object of my bhajan is Krishna. I'm attached to him as a person, and I want to serve him. Then the third, and that dasya rati may take different shapes. One may be a kinkara, having dasya rati, but it may express itself as sakya rati, or vatsali rati, or madhurya rati. And the third level, which he explains in this chapter, is that I have madhura rati as Radha's kinkari, or I am actually Radharani's eternal servant in Paliyadasi Bhav. I'm a protected maidservant. So these are three levels of kinkara. Ayinanda Tanajik Kinkaram. Because literally, we've heard so many times probably, the word kim karomi means, kara means to do, and kim means what. So the idea or the imagery that's given is that the servant comes before the master and stands with folded hands. It says, what can I do? And the master will say, well, do this. Clean the house, or work in the garden. So kim karomi means, what can I do? How can I serve you? So this is the imagery or the picture of this word, kinkara. Of course, it indicates not only that mood of seva or mood of submission, but also indicates ultimately a mood of the heart, a mood of attachment and rati for the Lord, which grows and grows and grows at this stage. One becomes very attached to serving Krishna and his devotees. So this fifth shloka describes the appearance of the siddha deha, the perfected spiritual body, which is beyond the gross and subtle material body, and expresses the soul's desire to serve Krishna. At this fifth stage of bhajan, the devotee may not see his siddha deha clearly, but he can realize to some extent by the grace of Sri Guru. Lord Gauranga, in this verse, he's requesting, as he's saying, he said, I've fallen into this ocean. Please bestow your mercy upon this eternal servant of yours. Consider me like a speck of dust and accept me as your servant. So Gauranga is petitioning Nandanandan here. He's begging him. So he's requesting, what is he requesting? He's requesting the gift of eternal service. He's praying for a spiritual identity. Thus, Lord Gauranga is teaching us how a sadhaka at the stage of asakti, or rati, or attachment, yearns to be established in his eternal identity, leaving behind a false identity based on the false ego. So at this point, the devotee very much is attached, asakti, is attached to the idea of being Krishna's eternal servant, and even hankering to some extent to serve Krishna in a particular way that will come at the higher level of asakti. There are different titles given for this verse. One is that this verse from Shikshastakam is called a prayer to realize one's spiritual identity. Because if we pray to become attached to the feet of Nanda Nandan, and then the next thing he'll say, well, okay, you're going to be attached over there, so what are you going to do there, sitting on my feet? How are you going to serve me? What is your idea for service? Are you just going to ride on my feet wherever I go? Like a pair of shoes clinging to my feet? Because you're saying you're a kinkari. So you're folding your hands. You're sitting on my feet with folded hands saying, what can I do? How can I serve you? So then I'll say, well, how do you want to serve me? As my friend, as my lover, as my mother? So therefore, there's some specific petition. And there's some other, Bhaktivinoda, he explains another book on commentary on Shikshastakam. He says, what is the sarup of the sadhaka? And Sridhar Maharaj, he says, the kingdom of the land of love. That's what he calls it. Praying to realize one's spiritual identity. So this is Kinkari Bhav. King of the land of love. That's an interesting one. Because the king of the land of love means there's a king. If a king must have servants, and the servants are at the feet of the king. So the petition is to become a servant at the feet of the king in the land of love. Vrindavan is Prem Dham, Sri Vrindavan. It's the land of love. So now there's some different... I want to read translation, different translations to this verse. Because this is the... very important verse. All these verses are mentioned in Anti Lila, chapter 20. Lord Chaitanya here is saying, O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So this is Bhava Ambuda. In other words, when one's drowning in the ocean, he wants to be lifted up. He wants to be put in some dry place. Because when you're in the ocean, you're wet. You're totally drenched. Your body, your clothes, your energy, everything is totally saturated. So now he's saying, I want to be dust. I'm in water, but I want to be dust. Interesting contrast. Bhava Ambudi. He says, I'm completely surrounded by water, this ocean of material existence. It's unfathomable. There's no depth to it. I can't reach the depth. I can never get to the bottom of this. I can never cross this ocean. It's so vast and so deep. But if you come along, if you appear as an island, your feet should appear in the middle of this ocean like an island. If there's an island in the middle of the ocean, you wash up on the island, then you'll be on dry shore, as they say, dry land. So that dry land is a shelter of Krishna's feet. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying for. Pick me up on the dry, put me on the dry land. Keep me anchored there, keep me fixed there, on the dry land of your feet. Stita Duli. Duli means dust. Dust is very dry, completely dry. There's no water there and dust. And he's saying that I want to stick there, stick on your feet. He says, it's fixed because dust tends to fall off. If you have some dust on your feet, then it walks somewhere, it falls off. So he's saying, please, stita, he says, duly, stita, fix me there. He says, oh Lord, please consider me. I want to enter the realm of your merciful glance. I do not know how to take proper care of myself, so I invite you to take care. Please accept me and give me entrance. You are my guardian. I want to live under your protection. So this is another translation. That a devotee is praying. This prayer means like this, that because if you're at someone's feet, then you're certainly in a humble position and you're depending on that person. But he's saying, fix me there, don't trample me, don't throw me away, don't forget me, be my guardian. So Bhaktivinoda, or rather, Lord Chaitanya, he explains a little bit about the background. He says, Tomar Nitya Dasa Mui Toma Pasariya Padiyachan Bhavanarve Maya Badahana. Lord Chaitanya gives a small purport on his own verse. He says, Tomar Nitya Das, I'm your eternal servant, but I have forgotten your lordship. Now I've fallen into this ocean of nescience, and I have been conditioned by the external energy. Maya Bada. Kripa Kari Kara More Padaduli Sam Tomara sevaka karun, tomara sevan. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place within the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. So see how Lord Chaitanya is praying. I mean, so much humility was awoken in him from back at Trinadapi Sunichena. I mean, at that point, his humility is taking him below the grass. There's the grass, and he's saying, Trina Nietzsche, let me be below the grass. Because if I'm below the grass, then I won't really see what's going on much in the material world. I can't really see much or be distracted or attracted to anything in this world because I'm so low I can't see anything from that vantage point. All I can see is your holy name. And now what I've seen from that position of humility, I've seen that your feet have come my way. You've extended your feet to me because I've given up my taste for anything else. I'm just living under this blade of grass and I'm chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and everything that's above this blade of grass, wealth, women, followers, all these things are way above the grass. I don't see anymore, and I have no concern for it. So I'm here in this humble position, in the shade of this grass, and taking shelter of the holy name and begging for your darshan. Then all of a sudden your feet come in front of me. Your feet appear before me, because the feet are on the level of the grass. And I see your feet, and I say, oh, here's an opportunity for me. If I can somehow get myself on top of those feet, then I'll be secure, I'll be safe, I'll be protected. So then his prayer takes this shape. Oh, now please lift me up from this grass. Take me from underneath the grass and fix me on your feet. But even that, he's not saying, keep me at your chest. Like Lakshmi Devi is, she's also serving the Lord. She's also a kinkari. She's also a maidservant of the Lord. But her place is at Krishna's chest, at Vishnu's chest. That's a very, very exalted position, revered position, special position. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, oh, there's so many particles of dust. Give me a place within the... There's so many particles. When you walk, it says, Padaduli Sama. Like, there's so many particles of dust when you walk on the feet. Well, stick me there also. I don't need any special privileged position. I'm not asking for a position on your chest, to embrace your chest or occupy that post. Down there with all the other dust, just keep me there, insignificant. But fix me there, duly, stita duly, don't kick me away. And let me engage in your service. So then after that, then he becomes very even more humble. And then he asks, and then he prays to the Lord, that, please, now that you've kept me at your feet, and I've continued, now you've accepted me, I have shelter of your feet, and I'm continuing to chant, now please bless me that my chanting becomes full of bhav. Because now that I'm at your feet, now I can render some service there. I can render some service by bathing your feet. I can bathe your feet with my bhavashu, or my tears of love. Nayanam galardashu daraya varanam gadgadavriyagira. He's praying in that verse, which is the next verse. When will I chant like this? When will I chant and tears will fall from my eyes, my hair will stand on end, and all these symptoms will come? So, this is his explanation. And I read already Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explained it. He explains this verse also in Bengali. And this is what he says in Bengali. It's like a song. Tava nitya dasa muni toma pasariya padiyache bhavarnave maya barahaya. Actually, this is the same. This is quoting. Because usually he puts in Bengali. But here he simply quoted. This is the same as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here's another translation. O Lord, I am your eternal servant. But due to my misfortune, I have abandoned you. Being bound by Maya, I am drowning in this bottomless ocean of material existence. Please mercifully accept me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. I will become your servant and serve you eternally. So this is what happens. The commentary here says that this is the kind of mood that comes at the level of a sakti. When one becomes attached to Krishna, this natural humility awakens within him. That our prayers become full of extreme humility and lamentation. And there's countless examples of this throughout the Shastras. The most prominent one is Vilap Kusumanjali. by Raghunath Das Goswami. Vilap means lamentation. Some kind of thieves sneaking in here. Any rate, in Vilap Kusamanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's explaining that, reminds me of Sanatan Goswami, going to meet Lord Chaitanya, falling at a distance with a straw between his teeth. Or was it Raghunath Das at Panihati? And Nityananda was sitting there at Panihati, and Raghunath Das approached, and he said, "Who is this thief? Bring him here." And then he came there, and Nityananda put his feet on Raghunath's head. Remember that pastime? He said, "Why are you staying away, you thief? Come here, let me punish the thief." Put my feet on his head. We just talked about prasad, now prasad has come. So here at this level of asakti, this type of lamentation comes in one's mind naturally. And he becomes naturally attracted to read and to discuss prayers like Vilap Kusamanjali, which Raghunath Das is giving us to culture, to help us cultivate our mood of asakti, our mood of attachment. Most of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they encourage all of their disciples to deeply study Vilap Kusamanjali and to use the mantras and shlokas of Vilap Kusamanjali for the bhajan. Do nam bhajan and mantra upasana, mantra maya upasana. Mantra mixed, you worship this mantra, you chant these different mantras of this Vilap Kusamanjali while chanting nam and meditate on the meaning and pray that this mood of attachment that's in the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami also comes in our heart. This is bhajan, one form of bhajan and the level of Raghunuga bhajan. So the commentary says that these prayers, when one attains a state of asakti, attachment to the Lord, to bhajan and bhajaniya, to the Lord and the person, Krishna the person, and then the worship of the Krishna the person. Because in lower stages, we're very much attached. We may be very steady and very have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna and doing puja and reading so many things. But we haven't actually had tangible realization of the person. A tangible realization of the person comes at the higher stage of ruchi. We actually realize, oh, Krishna, this person that I'm worshipping and chanting, he's a person. Nam Rup Guna Lila. And we see the Rup in the Nam. And then we become very attached that he's a person and he's with me and he's always with me and he's right before me. So then the attachment increases. So then you become very humble in that experience. And then you start to lament how far away we are. So then that mood of separation comes. In the fully matured stage of asakti, there is some appearance of the devotee's perfected spiritual body, siddhadeya. And attachment arises both for bhajan and bhajaniya, which is Krishna, the object of bhajan. When one performs bhajan, faith or shraddha gradually develops through the stages of anartha nivritti and nishta up to the stage of ruchi. Krishna, as a super soul situated in the heart, accepts the prayers of devotees who are in these stages. So this is discussed other places also in purports by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Because he's saying that Krishna is Leela Mayi, or Leela Purushottam. He's absorbed in Leela. And because he's absorbed in Leela and exchanging his own Prema Madhurya and his Leela Madhurya, how can he be attentive or hear our prayers? He's so far away. He's in a Prakrit Dham, he's in Golok Dham, enjoying with his devotees. And we're here so far away praying to him, "Oh my Lord, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Oh, please hear my prayer." And so the argument is given, or at least Acharyas, they say that, as he says here, that when one is in this, up to the stage of Ruchi, at the level of Anartha Nivritti, the level of Nishtan Ruchi, it is Paramatma, Antaryami, who's hearing the prayers, because he's right here, he's hearing. But when you come to the level of the upper level of ruchi and come to asakti, we become actually attached to our ishtadev, then the Paramatma actually leaves the heart. He leaves the heart and he says, "Oh, anyway, you know, I have a lot of other work to do. I'll go back and try to keep the universe going." And he goes back to Shirdakshay Loka and helps his brother over there, his other brother, Shirdakshay Vishnu. And then Bhagavan, our actual ishtadev, moves into the heart. So the Krishna above and Krishna below. So the Krishna that's in Nitya Lila in the spiritual world, Shamsundar Damodar, he comes into the heart. And so then he directly hears the prayers. This is an expanded form, just like in Ras Lila. There's one Krishna dancing with Radharani in the center. Then Krishna expanded himself to dance with each gopi in the perimeter, the circle, the Ras Mandal. So this is Vaibhav Prakash. In the same way, that same Krishna that's in Nitya Lila, he comes into the heart of the devotee at the level of Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. He directly listens to the prayers of the devotee and reciprocates from within the heart. So Krishna himself hears the prayers of a devotee who is endowed with Asakti, and his heart melts with compassion. Krishna's heart. So this lament, when a devotee gets in this, comes to this level of Asakti, attachment to the Lord, then he starts lamenting and feeling very, very fallen and very, very low. And he also feels tremendous separation from the Lord. And he starts crying. This is when crying begins. Otherwise, we can pretend to cry or try to cry or cry because we can't cry. Cry, we can lament over our fallen position. We can lament that we can't even cry to cry. But at this point, actually tears come. And Lord Chaitanya, in the next verse, he's praying that they will come like rain shower. Tears are coming, but then he's saying they will come. He's praying to the holy name. So, this word-for-word meaning of this verse that's indicated here is sakti. First word is ayi nanda tanashakinkaram. Ayi. So this word in Sanskrit, it means born. This, first of all, we say, Ayi nanda tanaja. So we already described. Janna, tanu means body. Man tan dan guru samarpan. Ja means janma. And nanda means nanda maharaj. So it literally means born, ja or janma, from the body, tanu of nanda. Although Krishna or God is unborn, he imitates the activities of childbirth to reciprocate with the parental love of his devotees that are so eager to raise and fondle him as a child. So Lord Chaitanya is saying here, hey Nanda Nandan, I need you, but you also need me to satisfy your desire to taste the love of your devotee. This is a very interesting thing that the child needs the mother, right? And the child is born from the mother, and the child needs the mother, but the mother needs the child. Because in order for her to experience being a mother, she has to have the child. Just like Krishna, he is a reservoir of love. He has all this prema within him. But for him to taste it, he has to inject or place that prema in our hearts, in the hearts of his devotees. Then the devotees, when they experience or receive Krishna's prema, love for Krishna manifests in their heart, then they offer it back to Krishna. So when Krishna receives the love from the heart of his devotee, which he has actually placed there, then it tastes so good. He relishes it so much. And that's his whole business, is he's always trying to distribute his own love so he can taste his own love. And then when Radharani was also receiving his love and offering his love back to him, but she presents it in such a way that Krishna becomes mystified. How is it? It's only my own love that I've instilled in her heart. But she presents it to me in such a way that I'm captivated. I see that she's relishing so much pleasure by offering this love back to me, that how is it? I think it's not enough just to be the reservoir or receiver of love. I also have to become the giver of love. So then Krishna becomes Radharani himself, or takes her form. So this Ayananda Tanuja refers to that. This is the inner mood that the parent loves is the... that's why, because there's so many words that Krishna, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have used here. Because throughout this Shikshastakam, he's calling the Lord in different names. He's saying Jagadish, then he's saying Ishvara, my Pranishvara, then later he says Prananath, and later he says Govinda and Prananath. So here he's saying Nanda Nandan. Nanda Nandan, this is a name for Vatsalya Ras, Vatsalya Bhav. This is mother and son. This is nourishment. So he's saying, because Krishna, we hear the acharyas say that Krishna is greedy for love. that we may be greedy for food. We want to eat some food or drink some water when we're hungry or thirsty. So we want, and that food will nourish us. That will give us strength and satisfaction. So here, this word Nandanandan, Lord Chaitanya is saying, hey Nandanandan, please nourish me. Nourish me by giving me your service and accept my love which nourishes you. Because Krishna is greedy for that love. And he depends on that love. Without receiving the love of his devotees, he can't be happy. That's his greatest sadness when he's separated from the love of his devotees. He's greedy for it. So therefore he says, hey Nandanandan, I know you're greedy for this. You want this love. You've given me this love, now you want this love. Now, tie me up to your feet so that I can nourish you. Just like the mother ties the baby in her arms. She holds the baby in her arms and she nourishes him with her breast milk. She's holding him. And even if he tries to squirm away or kind of slip away, she says, wait, you stay here. And then the baby is nourishing the mother because she derives so much pleasure by that activity of nourishing her child. So this is why he's saying, this is why he's saying, Nandanandan, hey Nandanandan, I know that you get nourishment from my love. And I know that I need the nourishment of your glance. And I need the nourishment of your attachment. So don't kick me away because it will be bad for you and bad for me too. So don't kick me away from your feet. Keep me fixed on your feet. I Nanda Tanashakinkaram. Just as you have come, You have been born from the body. You're born from the body. Tanu means you're born from the body of Nanda. So I'm also born from your body. My prema is also born from your heart. Your heart's prema is instilled in my heart. So keep your connection with me. I'm filing a petition here, a connection petition. Like we want to get electric connection. We have to file a petition with the electric department and they give you a connection. So Mahaprabhu's filing to Nandanandan, listen, please connect me. Don't kick me away. Keep me fixed here. So this is, there are many different conceptions of God, but here is a beautiful conception. O God, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, such a conception is only found in Vrindavan. So this is Braj Bhakti, which Lord Chaitanya came to give and distribute, which has never been given by any other avatar or any other acharya in any other age in the history of the universe. Is Braj Bhakti. Vaikuntha Bhakti has been given, Dasya Bhav, Shanta Bhav, but these type of Bhavs have never been given. So here, he's introducing, by using this name Nandanandan, Lord Chaitanya is showing, yes, this is some special conception here. I'm presenting a conception that no one ever presented before, the Vrindavan conception, the Braj conception, the conception of Krishna and Braj. Because we have Krishna and Vaikuntha, we have Udupi Krishna, and Dasya Ras and Shanta Ras. But this Vatsali Ras, this is something very, very wonderful. And it's going to get more wonderful as the verses go on, because it ends up with Mahabhav and Madhurya Ras. But here we're introduced to the sweetest intimate relationship of God and his devotee. God becomes the son of it. He takes a mother and father. You don't find this anywhere but Braj. You go to Vaikuntha, well, who's the mother of Narayan? Who's the father of Narayan? Did you ever see baby Bal Narayan? Did you see Bal Narayan with a little rattle, a little tiger teeth around his neck, and tiger claws rather around his neck? There's no Bal Narayan or Bal Vishnu. So this is only in the Braj. Of course, in Ayodhya we have Bal Ram. Ram Chandra also had his Balya Leela. But that sweetness can't compare with the sweetness of Yashoda. So then, this is found only in Braj. It says, Ai Nanda Tanaja Kinkaram. So this Kinkaram is a big, big topic. The entire chapter, with how many verses, this whole chapter is about Asakti and Nam Bhajan. How to develop attachment for the Bhajaniya, for Krishna who is the object of Nam Bhajan. And there are so many verses here. Well, it's about the same as other chapters. 22 verses. And practically all the verses are about Kinkari Bhav, which I mentioned. There are three different levels of Kinkari Bhav. And they're all discussed here because this is the basis of Siddhadeha. This is the basis of perfection. So this is a very crucial verse. Because here we leave the plane of sadhana and enter the plane of bhava. This is the runway. You get in the airplane and you go down the runway, then you fly in the sky. Right? So the runway, the airplane, I guess, is Vaidhi Sadhana. And Raganuga Sadhana is the airplane, very fastly moving. And the runway is Asakti. And then after that, you fly in the sky of Bhava Bhakti. And once you're in the sky, then you can go anywhere. And that, because Bhava very quickly becomes Prema. So therefore, this verse is extremely important. And from the Shikshastakam, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has dedicated the entire chapter to discuss one word, Kinkaram. So Kinkaram means servant. A servitorship to Krishna is innate within the Shuddha Sarup, or pure form of every jiva. Servitorship. Serve we must. But it's Anu. We say Anu Chaitanya. That the chit shakti of the jiva is extremely finite. There's like minuscule or atomic portion of sandini, samvit, and landini. Practically so tiny, very weak, this is told in Jiva Dharma. It has to get strength from outside. It needs some to be fortified. We take vitamins and minerals to get fortified. We even see on some food products, they say fortified with vitamins and minerals. So our chit shakti, our jiva, we have to fortify ourselves by higher association. This is the whole principle, that the chit shakti within the sarup shakti, which is so strong and powerful within the hearts of the nityaparishads, that has to illuminate our heart. It gives strength to our chit. And then things begin to happen. As they say, things begin shaking and moving. What do they say? Shaking and moving. Shake up the thing. So, one who has developed faith and begun devotional service has the basic idea that he is Krishna Das. This is so Kinkari Bhav begins with this Kinkari Bhav. We say Kinkara, can be Kinkara, male, or Kinkari, female. It begins with day one. Nityasira Krishna Prem, what does he say? Jivira Surupaya Krishna or Nityadas. This Krishna Das, this is also Kinkara Bhav. One who has developed faith and begun devotional service has the basic idea that he is Krishna Das. The idea. Maybe a very small idea. Yes, I have the idea that I'm Krishna Das. I have that idea, but I have many other ideas also. I have many other ideas. That I'm not Krishna Das, but I'm the enjoyer. That I'm God, actually. When we attain the stage of Asakti, which is described in this verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram, we will find out what is our Sthayi Bhav, eternal Ras, or loving mood towards Krishna, be it Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. All 11 aspects of our eternal spiritual identity, nam, form, bhav, resonance, save, etc., will become manifest to us. When we realize our sarup, even to a small extent, all kinds of anarthas will disappear. And this, when we're saying anarthas here, it means the most subtle form of anarthas. This fifth shloka of Shikshastakam describes the appearance of the sarup of the jiva, by which he can perform his eternal service to Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this from verse 5 to 21. This word, as we mentioned, kinkaram, is broken into two words, kim and karomi. Kim means what, and karomi means what service can I do? This indicates a humble servant enthusiastically completing one task. Then he returns to stand before the master with folded hands, eager to do more service. What more can I do? So this is one of the symptoms of bhajan at the level of asakti, is one is very, very eager to do service. And moreover, because asakti is bordering, is actually receiving some energy from bhava, some rays of bhava are beginning to shine in the heart at the level of asakti, one's eyes actually see seva. Like we say, Hare Krishna is actually, you can say it's like an optical shop. chanting Hare Krishna mantra is like, when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, then you get a pair of eyeglasses, bhakti glasses. And when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, you get bhakti glasses. Bhakti glasses means you get the eyeglasses, the eye for service. You'll see service. Because seeing service is a position of the heart. So when the drops of bhav come in the heart, the actual loving feelings come in the heart due to attachment to the Lord, then wherever one looks, he sees service. He sees an opportunity to render service to please the Lord and his devotees. So this is explained. Kim Karomi, this word, Kim Karomi, has a lot of implication to it. It has its literal meaning of, how can I serve? Kim Karomi, what can I do next? But the implied meaning is, there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's a lot of excitement, that one, the servant, stands before the master, how can I serve you? What can I do? That's one level. And then he runs off and does that service, and then he runs back, I've completed that service, can I do some more service? But generally our mood in neophyte stage is that we're asked to do some service, then we may or may not complete it, and we do it, and then we certainly won't come back very soon. If we complete it, we'll look for some place to rest for a while and take it easy. Say someone calls us on the phone and tells us to do some service, and then maybe we can do that in one day. But we maybe take 3 years. And then after 3 years, someone calls back, did you do that service? So we're afraid to call up the next day and say, well, I completed that service, because invariably you'll be given more service to do. So obviously we don't have this asakti, this intense attachment to the Lord. But we should keep this in mind and maybe strive to modify our viewpoint or our way of dealing and acting. Because whatever we do in that practicing stage, that becomes our perfection. So Prabhupada always preached pure devotion and the highest standard of pure bhakti. He never compromised. He always preached the topmost thing. He told the grihastha devotees, you should all follow the four regular principles. You should all be pure devotees, chant, preach, serve. He never preached any less than that, than the topmost thing. Even though there obviously so many people would adjust themselves according to their own faith. They would adjust their practice according to their faith and surrender to the order of the Guru. But Prabhupada never adjusted his orders, never adjusted his presentation. He always preached pure bhakti as it is. He wanted everyone, irregardless of their ashram or position, to practice pure devotion to Krishna. And he believed it was possible, that anyone can do. So this Kim Karomi, it implies this kind of enthusiastically completing one task and returning for more. What more can I do? So we'll stop here if there's any questions, comments. Any questions? Kim Karomi? It's a very exciting chapter of the Bhajan Rahasyam, because we will meet Radharani in this chapter, because she's the ultimate Kinkari. And Kinkari Bhav means to have the Bhav of being Radharani's maidservant. And now things are getting very exciting. Asakti. Yes.
Is it generally understood that the people that come to ISKCON or any of these Gaudium will take up Madhurya Bhav, that the Shtai Bhav will be Madhurya? Or if there's various opinions on these things?
Throw another opinion in the opinion poll. Ask them. In the they may have the answers. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Lord Chaitanya came to broadcast Chari Bhav, four kinds of bhav that are available in Braj: Dasya Rati, Sakya Rati, Madhurya Rati, and Vatsalya Rati. This is told by Krishna's Kaviraj, Chari Bhakti Ras. Lord Chaitanya is introduced, giving everyone an opportunity to contact this Braja Bhakti. Specifically, he was very much showing, and many times in many places, he was showing the mood of Manjari Bhav. Madhurya Bhav, obviously, because he was in the mood of Radharani, so this principal relishment himself is Madhurya Bhav, Radharani's Mahabhav. But even a few different pastimes, he was relishing the position of a Manjari, assisting Radha and Krishna in their Jalkeli and picking flowers for Radha and Krishna, so many things. And he empowered all of his servants, the Acharyas, the six Goswamis specifically, the ones that he directly empowered. He told them to write about this Madhurya Bhav and Manjari Bhav sadhana, and they did. So primarily it appears that Gaudiya Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vedanta is broadcasting and making available the bhajan, path of bhajan for Madhurya Bhav in the mood of the gopis, Gopi Bhav, specifically in the mood of Radharani's servant, maidservant, Radhadasyam. This is considered to be the tattva, or the ultimate siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the service of Radharani, Radhadasyam. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati described like this, and other acharyas in Gaudiya mission, they describe like this. There may be any number of people coming with different bhavas or different stai bhav, and they will progress by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and as we said, at the level of a sakti, then they get first glimmer of their stai bhav, and at that time Krishna will make some arrangement for them for specification, or rather specialization. We see even in our own society we have god brothers that are very much interested in sakya bhav. And they see Prabhupada like that. But there are other god brothers that see Prabhupada as Sakhi Manjari, and even have realizations like that. So Prabhupada can accommodate, Guru can accommodate everyone. But for specialization, then that devotee who is interested or has that stai bhav or interest in Sakhi Rati, serving Krishna, loving Krishna as a boyfriend or coward boy, then he will specialize by taking shiksha from those disciples and followers of Nityananda. And they have their lines, and they have their lines of sakkas, and they're teaching the sakka bhav. And they also have different books in Bengali that can be studied. As far as vatsalya bhav, there must be some strain like that also, I suppose, here or there. I never really heard or read. And some acharyas, they say, when they're challenged, they say, we can't really show praman for this. But it's their experience and their opinion that those devotees that come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, generally they're in this mood of Madhurya Bhav, knowingly or unknowingly. That's why Krishna guides them. He directs them, come to this side. Because if someone is, of course, it can be, if he's in Sakya Bhav or Vatsalya Bhav, the only place he can come actually to get any nourishment or realization of that is Gaudiya line. Because there isn't any Sakya Bhav or Vatsalya line outside of Gaudiyas. Because in Ram Bhaktas and all these, they don't, well, maybe you could say in Ram Bhaktas they may have, I don't know. But generally Vaishnavas and other Vaishnavas or Vishnu Narayan worshippers, they're in Dasya or Shantavras. So that is my opinion, since you asked my opinion. As you can, in other words, wait and see. When one becomes purified, then one gets some inclination. And Krishna, in fact, it's all Krishna's plan. He knows the ultimate plan. Krishna knows the past, present, and future. So he wants to receive love from any number and any type of devotees. So he designates, this is our understanding, that everything is his, and everyone belongs to him. every ounce of creation, every living entity, every jiva, they all belong to Krishna. And they're all intended for his pleasure and for his satisfaction. And so he has his plan for every jiva to satisfy him in the ultimate issue and please him. Although jivas of our category, tattvastha jivas, they have minute independence to be attracted to the glimmer of this external energy. And that's also a lila. It's Krishna's lila also. So Krishna says, all right, this lila is nice. I've enjoyed this lila. I've watched you jump up and down here and there in different bodies. And now I want to pull you into the antaranga lila. So then he comes. It's like sometimes children, they have a toy and they let the toy go here and there. They wind it up and it goes here and there around the room. And then it hits the wall. Then they go and they pick it up. Then after a while, maybe they give the toy away. So the jivas, the tattvastha jivas are like toys in the hands of the Lord. It's his play. So we think, oh, what's this play? This is not a good play. this is a sad play. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brings out this point very much. It's all lila. Everything Krishna does is lila. And whatever, as he expands his lilas, he has so many expansions, and every expansion he engages in lila. And he engages in lila only with his own parts and parcels. Krishna is one, and he expands into Radharani and has lila. He expands into Balaram and has lila. And Balaram expands into different avatars and Purusha avatars, and he has lila. And then he expands into other expansions and has lila. So Mahavishnu expands into his jivas, Nityabhada jivas, and has lila. So we say, well, thanks a lot. What is this lila? So that question you can say, well, what is this lila? But somehow he gave us a free choice. We chose this shine over here looked better than that shine over there. We were more attracted to gold than silver, or silver than gold. That was why he wanted to see, well, what are they going to do? Which way they're going to go? But no matter which way the jivas go, their only end result, the ultimate conclusion is, and the ultimate purpose is to love Krishna. And how he wants everyone to love him, that's in his hand. It's all arranged. It's all planned, pre-planned. It's not that he doesn't know how some jiva is going to love him, and they're just floating in space waiting for someone to put a stamp on their head. It's like we have so many objects. We surround ourselves with so many objects and possessions. We know each of those objects, and we know what the function and utilization of each of those objects are. It's not that, oh, what is this thing in my room? What is that doing? What is that for? We know what everything is for and what everything does, and it's used at particular times. So the jiva is like this. Jiva, we are in Krishna's lila, and it's explained that he gets so much pleasure in this lila. It gives him tremendous pleasure. That he leaves the entire spiritual world and he brings the whole spiritual world down here for us. Just see how powerful our love is. How powerful this tattvastha jiva's love is. Krishna's in the spiritual world. He's enjoying with Radharani and all the gopis. But the jivas have such karshan, such prem karshan, that Krishna says, look, I'm going down there. Radharani says, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the material world. What for? There's nothing down there, a bunch of stinky guys eating onions and garlic. So I want to go down there. I want to show our pastimes down there. I want all these jivas to enter our lila also. I also have plans for all them. They don't know that they're also part of my lila. This lila, this nitya lila. And now they're in this naimittic lila. Coming and going. So I want to stop their coming and going now. All right, here we go. What is the need from their side to come here? Is there any need? No need. Why does Krishna and why do they bring the whole thing down here? This is wonderful love, and it's for our side and their side also. Krishna enjoys; he takes the greatest pleasure. And Radha and Krishna come as Mahaprabhu. There's so much pleasure and happiness they get from liberating the jivas. So we can, in one sense, we can say, "Oh, we should actually rejoice." How fortunate I am that I can render so much pleasure to the Lord. If I allow myself to be rescued, if I allow myself to be attracted to His love and compassion, and how much pleasure I'll give Him. So this is all part of the lila, right? It's only suffering when we don't take part in the play. When we don't play our part, then we suffer off stage. If we dance on the stage, and then everything's nice. When the choreographer has a particular dance scene and everything, and you cooperate with him, then the things go nicely. But if you say, "No, I'm not dancing. I'm over here. I'm doing something in the backstage." Hey, what are you doing? You're spoiling the dance. You're supposed to be out front dancing. So this is all the dance of the Lord, and we are dancers. And you know, as what does Shakespeare say? What did he say? All the world is but a stage, and we are but its players, or something like that. That's actually quite the point. We're not. It's not suffering. It's not. We're not eternally damned. We're not cast into hell. We are cast on the stage. We are being cast. We are the characters in the drama of the Lord. And so we played this drama of Maya. It was very nice. We did a good job. We played the role very nicely. Krishna's rewarded us. He said, "You did a good job. Now play this drama. Now come to the Ras Lila. You've danced in the chakra of the samsara. So now you dance in the chakra of the mandala. Ras Mandala."